Ron and Anian.
I think the number's like 19. We started in 19 affiliates between last week and this week, and I'm going to start to count them out and recognize them. Maybe they don't want to be associated with us anymore because of...
We made a heck of an impression.
The Car Doctor.
What a time period, right, Bill, to look back at the older cars and
unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah, compared
and
to
my
today.
Car was probably the oldest car there.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, the Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
Hey, welcome aboard, Ron and Anian, at your service. Let's, you know what? There's a lot of calls this hour. Let's jump right out there to Dwayne in Iowa and open the garage doors right away. And what's going on here, Dwayne? Welcome aboard, sir. How can I help?
Thank you, Ron.
You're welcome.
A 2018 Chevy Duramax diesel that we purchased brand new, even shortly after we had purchased it. It's a vehicle that's garaged all the time. We'd go ahead and start it up, put it in reverse, and the second that we'd put it in reverse, the engine would shut down. It's not like it's struggling. It's just an automatic kill.
Like you turn the key off.
Exactly. And it did this to me the other day, three times in a row. The only so-called cure for it seems to be start it up and pull it ahead just an inch and then take it back to reverse and everything is fine then.
Okay. So if you were to start it in neutral and pop it into drive, it wouldn't do it.
I've never tried starting it in the neutral.
Well, and the only reason I say neutral is because I want to put it in drive instead of reverse. I want to see if gear position has anything specific to do with creating the problem.
Okay.
All right.
Right. And again, it's not a continuous problem. It may do it only once a month.
Well, let me ask you this. If it does it that once a month moment, if you went out there this afternoon and put it in reverse and it stalled, if you put it back in park and started it again, is it likely that it would stall again? You know, does it do it a couple of times and then magically clears itself out?
It seems to, yes. Now, we're away from the vehicle, so I can't try to duplicate the problem right now.
Right. So, you know, I guess what I'm saying is the next time it happens, and there's a couple of things I want to talk to you about here, but the first is I just want to try and establish, you know, the next time it happens, start the truck in neutral. Put your foot on the brake, obviously, because it's going to roll, all right? But try to start the truck in neutral. Put it in drive. Because if you pass from park to drive, you're going to go through reverse, and you'll understand why when I tell you the next step. I want to see, does it stall going from neutral to drive? Okay? If it does not, that tells me one of two things. I'm either dealing with a transmission issue, and I have seen this specifically with the Duramax, some issues where you put it in reverse and the trans is making the truck stall. Because the converter comes on, locks up, and it's just like a manual transmission vehicle where you pull up to a stop sign and don't push in the clutch. Bang, shuts off. Okay?
Okay.
That's not as common, but it's potential. That's why I'm trying to see, does reverse make a difference? All right? What's more common, all right, because there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Trust me, there really is. You've got to go and try and find. Have you taken it back to the dealer yet? I guess I should ask that question.
Yes, we have on two separate occasions, and it's not indicating any codes.
Okay. So have they talked to you about a document, PIT 5391, PIT 5391, Edward?
No.
And if I recall it correctly, it talks about no start or no start crank or start stall, immediate stall. And what this document does, and I don't know that it's a TSB. I think it's an internal document from GM for the dealers, for the service department. It talks about issues, known issues, with the wiring harness. All right. And it's losing voltage. There's a loss of voltage on ignition one, they call it, the ignition one feed, which powers up two relays, which run the engine. Oops, you think that's important? you know, and they talk about, this document will talk about fuse block issues. There's one relay under the hood, and there's one relay under the dash in their respective convenience centers. And, you know, they'll talk about loose pin terminals. It'll talk about wiring harness issues, to the point that when you think, if you think it's a wiring harness and you go around and, you know, you ever knead dough, you ever bake bread and you kind of gently knead the dough, start kneading the wiring harness, just gently manipulate it. And, you know, you'll see that the truck just sort of shuts off. You kind of feel, it's sort of godlike when it happens, Dwayne. You're like, look at this. And you can, I am God. Boom, the truck shut. Wow, look at that. I did that. So, you know, it could be one of those two things. Now, if they find nothing, all right, and once you see this document, you're going to go, wow, that's pretty important, all right? What I'd want to know is, being a nosy person that I am, so I want to know, you know, do I ever lose ignition one feed voltage? And I would wire in. I haven't done it yet on one of these. I've done this on other. I've used this trick on other vehicles, but I'm aware of this problem because I've talked to a few people about it. I actually fixed one a couple of three, 4 months ago. It had a harness issue. I would want to know, can I wire in a side marker bulb? Regular listeners know what I'm going to say. 194 side marker, just any kind of a small directional bulb and socket. So, you know, if the key is in the on position and the bulb goes out, wait a minute, the key's on, the bulb's got to be lit. Why isn't the bulb lit? What turned off? Right?
Right.
And the bulb turned off because the harness is broken, the connector is bad, or the relay isn't powered up. And at least it tells me where I'm going. Make sense?
Okay. Right. Yeah.
You know, I can't stand diagnosis. There's no codes. I can't fix your truck. Nah, it's not, you know.
That's basically what we've been getting. Now, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, well, guess what? My check was good. Fixed the truck. I don't know if you heard the first hour today, but I had my garage door fixed at the house. Did you hear the, right? I'm going past the garage door every time I walk in and I hear this notching. I'm like, boy, that just doesn't sound good. And I'm thinking about it. I'm eating supper and I'm watching TV and I'm thinking about the garage door. Like, what's wrong with the door? And as soon as I lubed it up, problem solved. You know what? There's always a reason. And that's half the fun. And that's half the job of fixing a car. Why did it happen? And then you can prevent it from happening again. Get your hands on that document. All right.
What's that document again?
It's GM references it as, I remember it as Pittsburgh, PIT 5391 Edward. It is an internal service document for GM. I do not believe that is a TSB number. All right. And I believe it's dated February of 2019. So it's about a year and a half old now.
Okay.
That's the one that I found when I was working on the truck I was working on a couple of months back. And, you know, that I think will shed some light on it. If nothing else, what I find when I hand these things to service people to say, hey, what about this? If they look at it and blow it off, I think you can at least judge it and, you know, go, wait a minute. You know, this is describing my problem. Why are we looking at this? You know, so because you want to keep the truck. I'm sure that wasn't a cheap vehicle, regardless of how much the vehicle cost. What was that? That was probably a $60,000 truck, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Yep. So, but see what that does for you. All right, sir.
Okay. That's great. Thank you very much, Ron.
You're very welcome. You take good care. Yeah. Come on. Let's, you know, why doesn't it work? What can I do to test it? You know, I'm not going to be there. How will I know? The answer is not, there's no codes, there's no light on, it's not doing it now, you're fixed. That's not the answer. I got to tell this story, Tom. I had a customer this week 2007 Lincoln Town Car that she's complaining about a loss of power steering. There's Lucy again. Lucy's in the background today. She's all over my feet. And she was complaining about loss of power steering. And brought the car in, and I looked at it, and there was no fluid loss. It had good fluid. The pump was quiet, this older vehicle, but, you know, older couple, not really going far. The belt didn't show any signs of scoring. And I'm going round and round in my head. I'm saying, why did it have a loss of power steering? And I don't know, the bulb went off, and I walked around to the passenger side of the vehicle, and the right front tire is all scuffed up. And the wheel's kind of mangled a little, but the tire's like rubbed, like it had hit a curb. I called her up, and I said, Darlene, I said, were you parked when you had the steering problem? She said, yeah, Frank went into the doctor, and I was parallel parked, and I said, do you think you were parked up against the curb? Oh, I don't know. How would I know? Well, you know, because you can't turn the wheel because the wheel's wedged. There's always a reason, all right? You just got to look for the clues, all right? It's like being Sherlock Holmes. I say, Watson, come here. I don't think that was him. So was it Dr. Watson? To be continued. When the car doctor returns, I'm Ron Anani, and don't go away. We'll be back right after this.
Whether it's a little red Corvette or a Yugo, you've come to the right place to get that car fixed. Ron Anani and the Car Doctor, 855-560-9900. Now, back to Ron.
Let's get over to Dan in Wisconsin. Dan, welcome aboard, sir. Ron Anani and the Car Doctor at your service. How can I help?
Hey, Ron, I got a general question.
Okay.
So, I remember hearing, you know, I've heard it from a couple different people, and I've never heard confirmation on whether it's true or not. If you're in a vehicle and let's say you're backing out of a parking spot, and before the car stops rolling backward, you shift it from reverse into drive. I've heard that ruins a transmission. Is that true?
Yes. Well, I'll answer the question this way. Actually, yes. I guess the straight answer is yes. I thought your question was going to be the other way around.
It could be vice versa.
Okay, so yeah. Now, depending upon how fast you're going, I'll tell you this story only because it's Halloween. All right, so you get a Halloween story out of me. So there were these two kids. This is some time ago. Russ and Ron. The names have not been changed to protect the innocent because the statute of limitations has expired. And Russell was driving, and Ron asked that very question at the time. All right. And it was, I wonder what happens if we put it into reverse and we're doing 25 miles an hour going forward. And it was Russell's mom's 73 Buick Electra, so it was a big old tank. You got to see the amount of smoke you can do in the way of a burnout with a 73 Buick going into reverse at 25 miles an hour. It's pretty staggering. You can't do it too often, though, because after a while, the police department comes, because what happened was eventually we broke the motor mount on the wrong side. And the throttle jammed, and we created so much smoke, the fire department showed up because they thought the car was on fire. But that was a long time ago. So the bottom line is, if the transmission doesn't blow, you can do a really great burnout. But if it does break, it's going to be very expensive, so you shouldn't do it. Bottom line, you should be stopped fully, whether you're going from reverse to drive or drive to reverse, because it is wear and tear on the car. It's bangs and clunks. There's no magic switch. There's nothing that shuts it off. And I couldn't imagine on today's cars, because the transmissions in most of today's cars have a hard time going, you know, 150,000 miles. I couldn't imagine what it would be like if you abused them a little bit. They I don't think they'd hold up.
That would even apply to if you were even going just 1 or 2 miles an hour in reverse just to back out of a spot?
Probably 1 or 2 miles an hour backing out of a spot. Eventually, you're loading the drivetrain in the wrong direction. It's a shock. You know, you'll feel the clunk, you'll hear the bang, and, you know, in time, over a period of time, you're going to wear out drivetrain components, universal joints, drive shafts, mounts. You know, you're jerking the car back and forth. You're jerking the vehicle back and forth under duress, under load. You know, it's not a necessary function. I mean, why are we not allowed to stop? Is that, you know...
I don't know if you've ever ridden with anybody, but it seems like there's quite a few people that that I don't know if you'd call it a habit, but that have that habit.
Well, they just,
every time I've been with, go ahead.
You mean bad drivers? Yeah, I've ridden with a few bad drivers. I'm usually behind the bad drivers. You know, the ones that, you know, I'm usually behind the one that's got the 4MATIC Benz that's all-wheel drive, traction control, crash avoidance, more electronics than manned space flight, and they're on their cell phone in a snowstorm with a right directional on, and they're going straight, and they can't manage to pull away from the traffic light. It takes them 45 seconds to a minute to realize the light changed, and you're like, where are we going, lady? You know, and she's doing 25 miles an hour in a 40 zone on a dry road, and you know, you just sort of scratch your head. So there's plenty of bad drivers out there, notwithstanding. So bottom line, they really should, you know, stop, reverse, stop, drive. I mean, that's really what this is about. So you know, I can tell you how to cure somebody of that very easily. All right.
Okay.
Is let them do it often enough, and when it finally breaks and they get a repair bill for $3,000, $5,000, $6,000, $8,000, $10,000, all of a sudden they're going to go, geez, I guess I shouldn't have done that. You know, nothing solves bad driving than having to pay the price at a repair facility, depending upon what broke. So, you know, it's, listen, they don't take abuse very well. They used to. But, you know, we've engineered cars down to the point now where they fail for some of the darndest reasons. True story, back in 1968, the General Motors Turbohydramatic 400 transmission, a T400, all right, had a calculated life expectancy of 250,000 miles. Think about that, all right? I think that was the distance to the moon, because I think that was the ad that General Motors ran. It was something along the lines of to the moon and back. And it wasn't a honeymooners commercial. And 250,000 miles by 1974. And what happened was GM stopped running the ad because people were buying their cars, but not buying new ones because the old ones didn't break. By 1974, a short couple of years later, General Motors had that transmission life expectancy down to 100,000 miles because it got reverse engineered. Think about that. All right. You know, planned obsolescence. And if you go a little bit further down the line in the 70s and the 80s, that's when GM got hit with the crisis with the Turbo 200C transmissions, where if it lasted 20,000 miles, it was considered above and beyond. So, you know, we're way off the topic here and way off the question, but the bottom line is, yes, you know, stop when you're going from drive to reverse, stop when you're going from reverse to drive. Yes, everything has a finite life, and yes, there are tons of bad drivers out there that have to learn the hard way. I appreciate the conversation, Dan, and like I said, the names were not changed, and both moms are gone now, but I can tell you, if you do a reverse drop at 30, what happens is you usually have to buy mom a transmission set of back tires. Ask me how I know. 855-560-9900. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor, coming back right after this. Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor here at 855-560-9900. The number again, 855-560-9900. You can get in, get a call. We're open for business, as we like to say. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was reading from the 10 tips for a successful brake job from the folks at Goodyear Brakes, goodyearbrakes.com. And, you know, I'm going through the list and we're talking about safety first and lubricating the pads and guide pins and, you know, how important it is to do some of the basics, secure the car up in the air and you know, make sure that, you know, the vehicle's safe to work on. And I had pointed out there was more information available at goodyearbrakes.com and so on. Well, Scott Loomis was listening to the show. Scott's the operations manager for McDonald Broadcasting up in Lansing, WHZZ, WQHH, WILS, and a few other radio stations. And he said, hey, Ron, he wrote me an email. Hey, Ron, I heard you talking about this sort of thing on your show last weekend, and it's a story about, unfortunately, and I say this not for the dramatic effect, but because, you know, it's a concern. Up in Attica Township, Michigan, a Lapeer County man died several days after a pickup truck fell on him. At about 4 p.m. on October 2nd, paramedics responded to a residence on Elk Lake Road in Attica Township for a truck that had fallen on the man. The man was identified. He was conscious and alert. Evidently, he was beneath the truck working on repairs when the vehicle slipped off the jack. It was not secured by jack stands. So, you know, listen, don't do that. All right. You know, when I sit there and I talk to you about doing brakes safely, Goodyear brakes, right? We talk about that. And thanks for that information, Scott. I appreciate that. And thanks for carrying the show and be so supportive of the Car Doctor over the years. We appreciate that also. But, you know, don't be that person that says, nah, it's not going to happen to me. All right. It's just not going to happen because you know what? Accidents don't have a scheduled time of when they're going to happen. Hence, that's why they're called, you ready for this? Accidents. You don't know when it's going to happen. Play it safe, play it smart. I'll tell you a quick story. And I'm not sure how I'm going to fix this yet. So, you know, they changed my shoes at work. I'm now wearing OnCloud sneakers, which are very comfortable, by the way. OnCloud is not a sponsor. I don't think they know I'm alive. I don't think they know who I am. I don't care. They make a very comfortable sneaker. I was very happy with them. I started wearing my OnClouds to work. Very comfortable. My feet don't get tired. My back doesn't hurt. Now I'm starting to, you know, it's, hey, listen, it's the little things that count when you spend, you know, day, when you spend your day pounding concrete, you're walking around the shop all day, you know, you get tired. Here's the downside. No steel toe. You know, the top casing isn't really great and, you know, protective. It is, but it isn't. You know how much a 14-inch pry bar weighs? I can tell you, because it fell on my foot the other day and almost decapitated my big toe. It left a real nice bruise mark and filled the sock with blood. So I have to think about, do I want to keep wearing my OnClouds because the accident happened, all right? But I'm okay now, so. But you get my point. You know, it's an accident. Let me do a quick piece of email. Hey, Ron, I've got a 2006 Mercury Mountaineer V8. I had the spark plugs removed after all these years and one broke off. I know Ford had a problem with the plugs in 2006, actually 6, 7, and I think some of the early 8s and some of the older 5s, the 05s. I hesitated to replace them for years. There's a tool kit to remove this plug. I've been told it's the most reliable kit by my mechanic. He informed me when they don't come out. The tool from the kit is now broken off in the spark plug hole. You know, some people, if they didn't have bad luck, they'd have no luck. I'll read that line again. The tool from this kit broke off in the spark plug hole. But, you know, I wouldn't want to be on an airplane with this guy. All right? You know, it's like with one parachute and two people. I now have a perfectly good working car. Well, not really, because it's got a broken spark plug in it and a tool. I was told it might cost $2,000 to remove the head and take the plug out. It's running. How can it be running? There's a spark plug missing. Let's start over. Hi, my name is Ron Ananian, and I think I'm a mechanic. The tool from this kit broke off in the spark plug hole. I now have a perfectly working car with a spark plug and a broken tool stuck in it. I was told it might cost $4,000. Right. It's running, but I was told to get a new car. I just want my working car back. What do you think? Do you have any suggestions, Robin? Well, yeah, I think I know the kit that you're talking about here. My concern is, how did it get stuck? All right, because the tools are pretty infallible if they're used correctly, unless something was forced. So the issue here is, you know, do you put $2,000 into an 06 Mercury? It's 14, 15 years old. Yeah, I think you do if the rest of the truck's in good shape, because as I pointed out, used vehicles right now are very, very expensive. And, you know, to try and resolve this by other means, the only thing you could try, you might want to do is, could you talk to the manufacturer of the tool, explain it to them? Do they have any suggestions? You know, the issue isn't getting it out of the head. The issue, in my opinion, will be what damage has it done? Because if it's in there stuck, what did it chew up? What did it damage? What did it change? Did it elongate? Did it reshape the spark plug hole? Is the hole, you know, so badly gouged up that you couldn't rethread it on the vehicle? And I'm sure it's one of the back plugs, because it's always the back cylinder head plugs, the ones you don't have direct access to that get stuck or screwed up, the ones that are the hardest to get to. So I say talk to the tool manufacturer first. Talk to your mechanic second. There's going to be a fail-safe point where we try everything last-ditch attempt and then pull the head. Pull the head and send the head out and get the head fixed if the rest of the truck warrants it. But look very carefully. Rust on the brake lines. Rust around the fuel filter area. Rust on the exhaust system. You know, what sort of problems could this vehicle potentially have in the next 4 to 6 months? You know, how many miles are on it? You failed to say that in your email, Robin. But, you know, if it's got higher mileage on it, you know, you've always got to play the same game I give everybody. If the vehicle you're working on, you know, for whatever reason, 6 months from now, if the transmission failed, would you put a trans in the car? You know, if the answer to that is no, look at the trans fluid. If the trans fluid is black and beat up, if there's other problems with the vehicle, you're about to get married. You know, you may not want to do that. So just my two cents. I wish I had a better answer for you, but, yeah, that's a tough hole to climb out of. 855-560-9900. Ron and Nina, the Car Doctor. We're back right after this. The Car Doctor at your service, 855-560-9900. I was listening to the spots during the break, and I the PB Blaster spot, you know, it kind of made me remember, you know, I don't talk about it enough, but I had to take the differential out of a 2014 Ford Escape this week. And it's amazing how in just 7 short years, how rusty everything can get. Especially the vehicle came from Pittsburgh where you know, high salt content, lots of snow, traveling 78 and Route 80s, you know, in all kinds of weather. And I couldn't help but think, and I said, I've got to talk about this a little bit because I don't know if everybody gets it, but PB Blaster redesigned their cans so that there is, they call it a pro straw. So the straw is always attached to the can, but then there's a flow valve. So there's a little tab in the back that you slide side to side, and it controls the flow. So you're not spraying wildly. You don't come out with your glasses all covered, you know, with PB Blaster. You know, you spray some drops on there. You can actually control it. It works very well. I mean, the product itself is unbelievable, but the flow control valve just makes it work. Oh my gosh, it's phenomenal. And you just got to take a look at it if you haven't yet. You just have to take a look at it. It's an absolute must. I want to do this real fix from Mitchell real quick because I thought this kind of hit the point home. By the way, more information at on their website at blastercorp.com. So you can read about PB Blaster and all their products, but the flow control valve, the nozzles are just unbelievable. I want to do this real fix from Mitchell real quick, and it talks a little bit. It kind of hits the point about diagnosing against bad parts. Because parts are just clearly an issue. And this particular Real Fix Sure Track Fix of the Week from the folks at Mitchell1.com is all about a 2012 Honda Pilot. The battery warning light's on. The customer's complaining that the light's coming on and off. The alternator's been replaced once or twice before, and they don't seem to be getting anywhere. So the technician that worked on it, went through a basic checklist. He went through and he looked at system voltage. He went through and measured wiring on specific pinouts at the connector at the back of the harness. Now understand, this generation Honda has an ELD, an electrical load detection system, that they actually turn the alternator off. They stop charging at certain conditions, usually at idle or under load node, no load required condition. You know, the battery's at capacity. There's not a lot of electrical load on the system. They will play with turning the electrical load on and off, or I'm sorry, turning the alternator on and off because the electrical load isn't as strenuous as it once was at that moment. So the alternator was replaced, but they were still getting a light on at the dashboard. And after some diagnosis, the repair shop decided, because it was erratic voltage coming out of the alternator, that the replacement alternator was bad. Hey, I like that. A bad new part. How could that happen? They went out to their local O'Reilly Auto Parts they talked about, and they purchased an alternator from O'Reilly Auto Parts, put it on, and the problem solved. And yeah, why wouldn't it be, right? We know that O'Reilly Auto Parts is going to carry the good stuff. More information at O'ReillyAuto.com. But the point becomes that it's not just a matter of diagnosing good part, bad part, or problem to get to the root cause. You've got to know the part you're putting in is quality. And it's a concern, all right? I can't stress this enough when you're out there trying to work on your own car, that what you're putting in, you've got to have faith in the product. You've got to know that the product worked. Don't be tempted by cheap parts. You know, you've got to ask yourself, how do they do it so cheap? You ever been to a restaurant and the cheeseburgers are just underpriced and you say, how do they do it so cheap, and it gives you indigestion? Well, there's a reason, because it's, you know, it's either not cooked right, it's not good quality stuff, there's something wrong with it. If they're doing it that cheap when it comes to auto parts, you've got to ask yourself, is there something wrong with it? Is there a reason why it's that cheap? And that's an issue. In the case of the Mitchell One Fix, they put an alternator in it. They got it from their local O'Reilly Auto Parts, put an alternator in it, and the vehicle was fixed. And it's sometimes just that simple. I can't talk about that enough. That's just too gosh darn important. One last comment, and then I'll pull over and take the pause, Tom. I want to talk about scan tools real quick, because I keep getting this question. The holidays are coming. Everybody's looking for a scan tool. I've got more than a few emails on my studio desk talking about, you know, I want to buy this scan tool that works with my laptop. I want to buy this scan tool handheld. I want to buy this scan tool that works with my Android or my iPhone, etc.
Scan tool.
I knew that was coming. You know what? Let me pull over and take the pause. Now Tom's got me off my game. Besides that, if I come back from it, we'll hear from Tony again, who we haven't heard from. Whatever happened to Tony? Don't even tell me what happened to Tony. I don't want to know. I'm Ron and Annie in the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Ron and Annie in the Car Doctor. Scan tools. Stop it, Tom. Don't touch the button. Okay? All right, here it comes. I know it's good. Is it there? Here, see? You're too late.
You're right.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's his other buddy he's got over there. Behave yourself. I'm trying to finish. Talking about scan tools. You know, you're going to spend $200, $300, $400. Just for giggles, I went out to eBay, all right? Type in Autel scan tool, all right, at eBay. And I came up with, and there's an authorized, he claims to be an authorized Autel distributor. So I would check that out and make sure he is and make sure it's the real thing. And I have every reason to believe it is. Everything I read about it seems it is. But he's selling a brand new MK808, which is current OBD2 diagnostic vehicle, year, make, model specific. It does key programming. It does, or key fob programming. It does a bunch of functions, a bunch of functionality, under $500. So, you know, you're going to spend $200 for this thing that goes to your little laptop, or, you know, $300 for this to make your phone a scan tool, or $100, and you're going to come up short. You know, if you're going to fix cars, you can't fix cars with an empty toolbox, all right? Like the Fuller Brushman said, you can't sell from an empty truck. You can't fix cars from an empty box. It doesn't work that way. And instead of buying multiple tools and keep trying, just bite the bullet. Look, we have no problem, it seems, running out and spending $500, $800, $900, $1,000 on laptops every couple of years. But, you know, I get these emails that give me the sense that you people are struggling to buy a scan tool. You don't seem to want to pull the trigger, and I don't know why. Make your life easier. Buy a scan tool. Buy something that gives you information. Buy something that at least will tell you if you're in over your head right away, and you'll know whether the car's broken, and not that, gee whiz, does my tool really work right? Because a lot of these itchy-pitchy tools, as I like to think of them, don't necessarily do what they need to do, and they don't do the job. Go out to eBay, type in Autel scan tool, and you know, see what's up there for sale. There's also some used things for sale up there. And, you know, get out and check them out online. I believe it's just go Google Autel, A-U-T-E-L. It'll take you to their national website. You can look at that. Hey, let's finish out the show today. We went over to the Facebook page where we're streaming the show live, in case you're somewhere where an affiliate doesn't carry us yet, because we're coming. Trust me, we're coming, brother. And I see Helen Foley is back up on Facebook. She's really appreciative. And Helen, we really do appreciate your comments and some of the things you said. You made me laugh today. Helen said, Ron, I've driven Hondas since 1980, and the electrical systems in every one of my Hondas have been problematic. So there you go. There's a vote of there's a vote of confidence on why not to, or why you should buy a Honda. I also like the comment Helen made today out on Facebook about Ron. The show's convinced me to go ahead with the paint job on my 2007 Honda Civic. You know, Helen, you're priceless. But yeah, go ahead. Listen, you know what? If you enjoy it, if you like it, cars are like partners. Sometimes it's cheaper to keep it and, work it out and resolve it. And sometimes, I don't know, give her a little bit of a paint job, the car, not your partner. And, good things come to those that do the right thing. So appreciate your comments and everybody else's. And thanks to everybody for listening and being part of the show today. And till the next time, I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, reminding you, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. Happy Halloween.